Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Thursday, September the 23rd, 2021, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Want to remind everybody that Glenn Coble will be on when I go off this morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Swap Shop today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. And then Adam the Computer Guy today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. Gavin Richards this morning, guest co-hosting the show for another hour here. And during this whole issue with the Geraldo Journal, we now have to bring out the big guns. So back at this station, I believe this is the first time he's been live on air in the studio since his many appearances with Charlie Evers, and we're glad to have him back here on the fourth Thursday of every month, which is how it will be from now on. The legendary George Kasotis. George, how are you?
Hey, Scott. Oh, wow. What a pleasure to be back with all those years with Charlie. And I am just so happy to be with you, buddy. Well, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Now, we have not talked with you in quite a while on the air. What do you make of this whole pandemic for an 89-year-old guy like yourself?
Oh, I'm in there with everybody. You know, all of the people, all the schools, all the even Kroger's employees have to have the mask. So we're doing a great job in keeping up with the pandemic, and I think it's gonna work out, really.
Now, George, you came in, and I know people are so glad to hear your voice back on the station here, but you were listening to me rant and rave about trying to get Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now what is this punk Geraldo doing not coming on my show?
I don't know. He's just up in Cleveland. That's just a hop and a skip down here. I mean, I've been to Cleveland many times, and I don't see why he doesn't come down here and tell us what it's all about with him, you know, because he's been on that radio for a long time, and you've had bigger announcer radio people on here more than Geraldo.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we've had Phil Donahue, we've had Jerry Springer, we've had Willard Scott, Ernest Borgnine, Tony Curtis, Phyllis Diller.
Mary Ann Withrow.
Oh, Mary Ellen Withrow.
Mary Ellen Withrow, wow.
So now, why is Geraldo giving us the runaround?
He's just that kind of a guy, you know. He's a snake in the grass.
Snake in the grass. Well, there he goes. Well, I always said there's two things we know about Geraldo for sure. Number one, legendary broadcaster.
Oh yeah,
legendary
oh, yeah.
broadcaster. Oh. Number two, he's nuts.
Well, he's a big guy. He's been known around. Geraldo's been known around for a few years, but he's no big deal. I mean. Why not come down to Marion and talk to us?
Yeah, and we've rolled out the red carpet for him.
Oh, sure.
I've given him incredible publicity by talking about him.
Yes, you have.
I let people know that his little radio show is on there at WTEM. Nobody knew it existed until I started talking about it.
That's right, because a lot of people had forgotten that name. Geraldo, who's that?
Yeah, who is that? And then I've said I will go on his show if he comes on my show, and it's real radio. Diploma. Who would ever do that, George? You think anybody else here in Marion if I would have me on their show? Of course not. But I'm trying to create radio diplomacy. Because we're on. Geraldo's on right now.
Yeah. I heard it just a moment ago. Yeah.
Now, hold on. Now here's what this is a new segment of the show, and I don't know how this is going to work, but what is Geraldo talking about now? Okay, because he's on right now, so let's check in on Geraldo. Here's Geraldo's shows right now out of WTAM in Cleveland. Here we go.
The whip story, finally. I love it as it falls apart. The media changes the verdict.
That's not Geraldo.
So it went from whipping to wielding to whirling, to twirling, to swinging. What's next? Conducting? I would love to see the conducting.
I have to rebut about Haitian immigrants and crime. There's absolutely no evidence. I defy you to find an incident.
He's going nuts, George, this morning.
Oh, yeah, he sure is. Directly. He's undocumented.
Oh, my God. You are so wrong. Wait, Geraldo,
what does crime have to do with these people? You know what their crime
Jesus
is?
Christ.
Their crime is that they
are totally misreading this. I was talking about how the media covers...
Wow, that's a show, George. Man alive, you can't hear who anybody's saying. What a mess that is.
That is sure is a mess.
Doesn't he need me up there to straighten him out? He needs somebody up there who knows what they're talking about.
That's right. That's right, Scott.
That's terrible. That was terrible.
They need some sort of
still
medium.
There. He's still there
of...
yelling and screaming.
All in the same cell.
Oh, man.
What is that for?
You wanted to make the stereotypical Lincoln.
That is so wrong.
And Haitians have been screwed and immigrants.
Let's all talk at the same time. That's what that show is.
200 miles from Cuba.
My God.
A Haitian gets to our show. They get deported.
Boy, that's horrible. Why? No wonder nobody listens to Geraldo now. Would you want to listen to that first thing in the morning over breakfast, George?
Not at all. Not at all.
And that is the WTAM Geraldo show right now. That's going on live in Cleveland. We'll check back later and see if he's gotten any better. I just don't. Gavin, that is your generation. We've got a great diversity here today. We've got Gavin, who's under 20, and George, who's 89. Now, would you want to listen? You're 22?
I am 22.
What I said was you got Gavin, who's 22, and George, who's 89.
Yeah, sorry, I had to clarify.
Yeah, I'm just shaken by what I just heard there with Geraldo. Gavin, would you listen to that if that was on in Marion, Ohio?
No, absolutely not. No. I think that's very aggressive. I don't think waking up in the morning and turning on a screaming match, turning on sort of a Jerry Springer pseudo. Jerry Springer show.
Yeah, George, would you listen to that mess?
Not at all, Scott. It's just too much noise, and you can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, wow. He wouldn't fit in at this station.
Not at all.
No, but because we talk. I want to hear what you have to say.
That's what Scott Spears is, talk radio.
Talk radio. Yeah,
that's right.
That's a car crash.
Yeah.
Geraldo's a car crash. But apparently, I think if I can get him down here, I can straighten him out.
I think you really can.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is what it's all about. It's just talking to the people in the community here in Marion, Ohio, and just enjoying good, understanding communication with our community.
Well, and the thing about this show is, George, and Gavin, you can back me up on this, we want to hear what the guest has to say. We don't want to scream at the guest like Geraldo was doing there.
No.
That'd be rule number one, I would say to Geraldo. Geraldo, don't scream at your guest.
Perfect.
Yeah. Rule number one.
Yeah. Well, I think he just... I want to see if it's just an act. Do you think it's just an act, or is that how he's like in person?
Well, get him down here.
Yeah, that's how we'll know.
Well, there's several things going on here, George. Now, Glenn Coble says that if Geraldo agrees to do this, he will go to the mayor, and it will be Geraldo Day here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh.
You're not a fan of Geraldo Day.
Not really.
No,
not really.
We don't need Geraldo Day. What's the other thing? Glenn said he would even drive up there and pick him up.
That would make it easy for him, yeah, sure.
Because we don't really know if Geraldo has gas money anymore.
What? No, we don't.
We don't. Times are hard.
Gas is not cheap right now.
My first question to Geraldo would be, and I normally don't do this, give people a little insight into what I would ask him, but my first question would be, how do you wear that mask over that mustache?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I never even thought about that.
Don't we all want to know that?
Yeah.
Because he's got a mustache. Geraldo is in the Mustache Hall of Fame, no doubt about it.
I haven't seen him lately. I don't even know if he still has it.
George,
he probably does.
George, somebody came up to me the other day and said, have you ever known anybody who knew Marilyn Monroe? And I said, well, I know one person.
Tell the Story of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, you know,
Joe DiMaggio.
That was back in the early 50s.
Well, it's good, though. Give us the story, George.
Oh, come on. I was wounded in Korea, and they flew me over to Camp Drake, which is a suburb of Tokyo, and I was in the Camp Drake Hospital. And after I got out, I was there for 2 weeks. After I got out, they said, you have a week to get back to Korea. I says, I'm not going back to Korea. And they said, yes, you are, but we give you a week. So I got a week off, and I went downtown, and I had some money. I still had some money on me, so I went to the Imperial Palace Hotel, which is the number one. It still is in Tokyo. That was a beautiful hotel back in the 50s. And, you know, the Japanese gardens and everything. So I checked in, and that day, I didn't have a military uniform on. I had some dungarees and a Hawaiian shirt. And when I checked in, they didn't even know I was in the Army. So I checked in, and I got a room, and I was casually dressed and went downstairs to go to the cocktail lounge, and I went to this big open door with these two guys opening the door, and a white limousine pulls up, and all of a sudden, this guy and this girl get out and come up to the door, and I'm standing there looking at them, and I said to Joe, Joe in Maryland, what are you doing in Tokyo? Well, people didn't realize back then, but the Yankees played the Tokyo All-Stars every spring training. And this Tokyo All-Star Stadium is as big as Yankee Stadium in New York. Japanese baseball was big. Japanese baseball was very, very big. And all of a sudden, I said, Joe in Maryland, what are you doing in Tokyo? And Joe told me, he said, the Yankees are here, going to work out with the Tokyo All-Stars. I said, well, I was just going in the cocktail lounge. Why don't you join me? And Marilyn says, yes. So we went in the cocktail lounge, sat down, and I thought we'd order a drink. And I said, what would you like? And Joe says, well, I don't want any alcohol because we got to work out today, this afternoon. So Joe, Marilyn, and I sit down in one of those curved bench, leather settees, and I ordered drinks, and we sat there and talked for about a half hour, and Joe said, well, I got to go get ready to go over for the workout. And he said, why don't you pick up Marilyn and bring, after I introduced myself, they didn't know I was in the Army. They knew that I was Greek. So they thought I was some kind of a shipping tycoon, you like Onassis, and so they kept talking to me. And we had a nice conversation, and later on, Joe says, well, don't you get Marilyn and come over to the stadium after a while? And I said, well, no, I can't because I have a date with the girl at the Pearl Shop, the Mikimoto Pearl Shop. I was talking to this young lady at the Mikimoto Pearl Shop, and I said, I have a date with her. And I won't be able to pick Marilyn up. But anyway, I got to be friendly with Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe. That was back in the early 50s.
And what kind of woman would you say Marilyn Monroe was?
Well, she was very attractive, beautiful. She was sparkling and talking. She kept just talking like Joe. Joe wasn't talking that much. She did most of the talking.
She steered the conversation.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. So I had a nice, it was a couple of days there. We were at the hotel. I was there for a week, and I got to see Marilyn and Joe a couple of times, and we just visited and had a good time.
Now, George, prior to becoming a restaurateur, isn't it true you were a hairdresser?
Well, yes. I went to beauty school in Columbus back in, after I came back from Korea. I was in Columbus. And I went to Lazarus because they had a special day at Lazarus. All the Italian clothes, shoes, and I bought a beautiful hat from, what was the name of that hat? Oof, I can't think of it right now, but it was like a Borgio hat. It was beautiful. It was like $150, but everything was 50% off, so I bought that hat. And I asked the employees there at Lazarus, where do you guys eat? because I always wanted good food. And they said, go down to a restaurant just south of us here. It's a big, beautiful German restaurant. So when I went there, the stairway was, all these girls were coming down in these white little uniforms with short skirts, about 20 girls. And I said, what are you guys doing? I said, well, we're going to a beauty school up here. So we went in and had lunch, and I followed them back up the steps, and because there were 20 beautiful blondes and brunettes.
Why not? Go right up the steps.
And I finally ended up going to beauty school and became a hairdresser back in the early 50s.
And we got a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt any of George's stories because I love him so. But I haven't talked to him or seen him for so long, I just had to call in and say, hey, Georgie, do you know who you're talking to?
Oh, is that Fred?
Yep.
Hey, Fred, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I talked to your lovely wife at the luncheon with First Ladies.
I saw you there. Yeah, I was with her.
I didn't get an opportunity to speak to
you. I didn't get an opportunity to talk to you, Fred. Oh,
no,
God bless you.
We got to get together one of these days and just talk for a while because I really miss you.
Fred Ballone, you're a special guy. I like you.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There used to be a feature in Reader's Digest every year. It was, I think it was something like titled like My Most Unforgettable Character. George, if I ever write anything, you're going to be my most unforgettable character.
Fred Ballone, you, Charlie, and I were on the radio with Scott many times back
long
in the years when
time,
when Scott
time
first started.
Yeah. Well, listen, you guys keep talking. God bless you, Georgie, and I'll get a hold of you one of these days, and we'll go have. Hey, does Romeo still meet?
Yes, we do. We every Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Yeah.
And where do you meet?
Different places. We go to Panera. We go to the south store. What is that? The one on the south end of town.
Oh, the old Marion Diner.
Marion Diner. That's it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hunt you guys up one of these mornings and join you.
Thank you. Well, you're welcome, Fred. Fred Ballone, thank you for calling, buddy.
God bless you, George.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. Bye-bye. Now, Fred, George, I've offered this Geraldo Journal, when I'm finished with it, to the Historical Society.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That would be wonderful.
Wouldn't this be nice? I don't know that they want it, though. It seems like there's not a lot of interest at this point. But I think this is a historical document right here.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah, and I'll give it right to him. And if Geraldo comes on the show, we'll have him autograph this, and then I'll autograph it, and we'll date it, and we'll send it right over to the Historical Society.
That would be wonderful, yes.
Because I think that the Historical Society, and they do such great work, I'm a big fan of theirs, but I don't think they have any displays that deal with broadcasting. And Marion's broadcast history is tremendous, with Charlie and Madge Cooper and Joe Ione and
Jeff Ruth.
Jeff Ruth, absolutely.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff Ruth. And of course, Rod Serling spent... Marianne Michaels.
Marianne Michaels.
Absolutely. So I just believe...
And Rod Sterling, you mentioned Rod Sterling.
Oh, absolutely. Went on to do The Twilight Zone on National Television. And then you put the Geraldo Journal in there, and you got a whole... you have a display of the 80-plus years of broadcasting in Marianne.
And no... We haven't been...
We don't have that yet.
We don't have it.
And I could help them out, because I've got a lot of pictures of the broadcast history of Marion.
I think that would be wonderful.
These were big-time people.
Oh, yes, they were.
Big-time people. Big movers and shakers.
Oh, God. Madge Guthrie Cooper. Oh, my God. I danced with her.
She was a dancer.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't picture Madge dancing, but...
All these guys at WMRN, we were up at North at the big Palladium before they tore it down back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And none of those guys that were on the radio would dance with her. Even Bob Mason, he didn't dance.
No.
And I was always there with him because I catered to him all the time. I used to cater to all the parties that the WMRN had. Even every Christmas, I would do the Christmas party for all the employees. And... one of the old guys that were there that passed away now was Gus Judy. You don't remember Gus?
Oh, I do.
You do?
I rode around with Gus Judy in his old car.
Yeah, that old Cadillac.
That old Cadillac.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Gus and I were the best of buddies. We went to, I had a Greek friend of mine who was in Korea with me, was in Detroit, Michigan. and I got the big picture of us together, Gus, I, and this guy. He came to Marion to visit with me, and Gus was selling Cadillacs then for McDaniel Motors, and he sold him a Cadillac. So Gus drove the Cadillac back to Detroit to take it back to George Halatzis, and I drove my car, and Gus and I were in his big nightclub. He had a nightclub with a stage and showgirls, and girls walking around with that big box in front of them saying, cigars, cigarettes.
Sounds like a good place.
Those were the old days,
Gavin. Those were the old days.
Back in...
Gavin, and this is an era long before. What do you make of this era?
Wow. It's insane how many super cool people you guys have met. I've been stuck here my entire life, and I just never thought that anybody worthwhile ever came here, but it seems as though I'm wrong.
No, well, Marion's the place. We have such a bad publicity problem right now, but we have been Rod Serling, Madge Cooper, Charlie Evers, Mary Ellen Withrow. President Harding. This has been within the last 110 years. Norman Thomas, who was the first socialist to run for president. He was from Marion. Huey Lewis, John Dean.
How about Carrie Phillips?
Carrie Phillips.
Hey, she came in my restaurant.
Yeah.
After Warren passed away, this was back in the 40s, late 40s, early 50s, the manager at the Euler Phillips building, Buzz and I were buddies, and he used to come to lunch all the time, and one day he walks in with this lady, a beautiful outfit on with a little fur around her neck and everything, and I said, Buzz, is that Carrie Phillips? And he said, yeah, George, that's Carrie Phillips. She was the
mistress of Warren G. Hart. Well, one of them.
One of them.
You know, he had quite a few mistresses.
Well, I don't know how many, but...
We don't really like to count here at Marion.
No,
that's not positive for us.
Because Warren was I think he was a beautiful guy. The guy was president, and he was handsome, tall, not dark, but tall, white,
tall.
Handsome.
And he won in the first election where women had the right to vote.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's check back in on Geraldo, see if it's gotten any better there. This is going back up to WTAM and see if the Geraldo show's calmed down a little bit.
Can we get rid of food allergies?
Oh, I think they're in a spot right now. We'll check back in on Geraldo. Hopefully it's gotten some better, George.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, when we think about Marion, though, what's the first name that pops in your mind, George?
The first name?
Yeah.
Oh, my good friend Jack Kellogg.
Oh, Jack was just in here a couple weeks ago.
I know, I heard him when you interviewed Jack. He was really talking nice.
You know, I don't mean to bring up old times here, but it's very interesting that you're friends with Jack Kellogg, and many, many years ago, your wife, Joanne, ran against him for mayor, but all wounds are healed now, and everything's fine.
Sure. There wasn't any wounds at all. We were friends forever. Jack and his first wife came to my restaurant, and now that his wife, she was working with Marion Power Shovel years ago, and called me and hired me to do lunch for the people, the office employees at Marion Power Shovel, because the president said, "Hey, you guys are going downtown for lunch, and when you come back, there's two trains on the track, and it takes you 2 hours to get back to work." So they called me, and I fixed lunch for the employees at the office employees at Marion Power Shovel. And Dee was the assist secretary for the president.
Now, why is it that in the old days, people could run against each other for office, and then we could all forgive each other and go back to normal days?
Right, right.
Now, holy mackerel, we just have to argue all day long.
All day long.
What happened?
Twitter.
Something. It's awful.
Well, it's just like this... big deal with Householder, the Speaker of the House, and all his cronies and all that. They were punching each other in the nose and nosebleeds, and it was crazy, you know?
Well, I don't understand why everything is taken so even here locally anymore. You know, it gets very personal up there at City Hall.
Well, we have a... I think we have, I don't know if a lot of people don't know his name, but the Speaker of the House now is Bob Cupp from Lima. He's a beautiful guy. And he's a Republican, I'm a Democrat, and we get along well because I worked in Lima for a couple of years back in the, well, it was the late 50s, early 60s. I was still a hairdresser then.
You're still
the,
doing hair.
No, the guy that that ran the school in Columbus opened up a school in Lima, and I went over and managed that school for 3 years back in the 50s.
Now, what's the secret to doing hair, George?
What's the secret?
What's the secret? How do you become a good hairdresser?
Well, you have to know how to make a pin curl.
No, apparently. Now, do you do anybody's hair today?
No. Well, I used to. Well, when I first met Joanne, I used to cut her hair and style her hair. She had long hair then, but Joanne has a real short haircut now, really short, because it's easier for her to get to work in the morning with that long hair. Although my son has a nice crop of hair.
I saw him the other day.
You saw Chris?
I saw Chris. I was talking to him about just possibilities of the land over at the Taft Middle School.
Oh, yeah. He's over there every day.
That's nice.
But he also substitute teaches. He's substitute teaching right now. He's over at Harding, either Harding or Mary Ellen Withrow. He does both schools.
Well, there's a big call for that, so it's good that he's out and about doing that.
Oh, yeah, he's doing that. But he also takes care of his property on State Street.
That's nice.
That's four acres.
It's a big area.
Oh, yeah.
Taft Middle School was a big... Now, didn't Joanne teach there?
Yeah, she taught there for 26 years.
26 years.
Of her 35 or 36 years that she taught, 26 years at Taft Middle School.
Isn't that something?
Oh, wow. Every day... We go somewhere, I mean, when she's not working at the county, and you know what, she's in there, four terms.
Four terms.
And next year she's going to run again. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you're going to run again? I said, I'm going to be 100 by the time you get out of that office.
Well, she loves her work.
Oh, she does. She's got a beautiful staff, and she takes care of the county, you know.
And everybody likes her, and she's just a wonderful, nice woman.
Fiscal officer of Marion County.
That's right. Now, Gavin, when we go back and look at this whole COVID thing, I wanted to ask you, from your perspective in your age group, what do you make of this whole thing? Because we're in the middle of a surge right now, although it's calming down, I think.
Well, I think we do. I mean, we do definitely all, like, do our part mostly to, you know, follow the rules and stuff, but... You know, our generation, it's just a lot of people just don't care. And it's sad.
Well, you know, I saw a report last night that this was on the CBS News, that this surge should be calming down in the next 2 weeks, thank goodness, but that it's the younger group that's not vaccinated. The older people tend to be vaccinated. I think it was 30, 35 and up tend to be vaccinated.
Right.
35 and under tend not to be. Wonder what that's all about, George.
I don't. Well, some of these young people, they just don't think it. You know, what's in that? What's in that mix? What is in there? We don't know what's in there, and I don't know if it's going to be good for me. So that's what they're thinking.
You know, this is always an interesting topic. There was organized crime in Marion, was there not?
Oh, back in the 30s and the 40s, yeah.
Now, did you ever deal with organized crime? Did you know they were there?
I knew they were there. They called it the Black Hand. I don't get that.
The Black Hand.
Well, yeah. You never heard that?
I never heard that.
You never heard the Black Hand? That came from Sicily and Italy. Mostly Sicily. It wasn't the main body of Italy. It was Sicilian. The Sicilians were always arguing. I know. I was in Sicily with my dear friend, the best Italian guy ever in Marion, Ohio, Tony Caserta. Oh. Anthony Dominic Caserta. And there's a town in Sicily named Caserta. And the Caserta family was pretty big in Marion at that time. And so when Tony retired, he came to my restaurant every day. And he had a connection with a guide in Italy. And we could go back and forth, trip to Sicily, for $300 or $400. For 2 weeks.
That's not bad.
Oh, man, that's back in the 40s and the 50s. So I went
so
to...
So this Black Hand, though, what were they doing?
Well, they were dealing in drugs.
Oh, back then even?
Oh, yeah.
No, so this is not a new thing.
Well, that goes back to Al Capone and before Al Capone in the 40s and 30s. and 40s and 50s. That was the Black Hand was the name of the organization that ran the drugs into America.
You know, there was a nice article in the paper yesterday on these Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, the Cardinals are great.
Yeah, that's very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I think if it works, do it.
17 of them.
17 Cardinals.
Because we're the 17th state.
Yeah. And the bird, the cardinal, is the state bird.
Yeah, it's the state bird.
I don't know how many people know that.
You knew that? When I first state heard bird. The cardinal thing, I said, what are we doing in St. Louis?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm St. Louis Cardinals.
That's right. What are we doing? Well, Gavin, what do you make of this whole thing? Is this something the kids are going to get into?
Sorry, what?
The kids? Are the kids going to get into this cardinal thing?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know about the birds downtown?
No.
Oh, see, well, we know the kids aren't into it, George.
No, they're not into it.
No, it's not going over.
It's not big in this area over here.
Oh, they're big. Those guys are huge. They're 4 or 5 feet tall, and they're on every corner.
Yeah.
17 of them.
17 big fiberglass cardinals in downtown Marion.
And the paintings on them are unbelievable.
Very, very talented artwork. And this is a big thing right now in
Marion.
Now,
the last one is going to be painted by William, the guy that painted the Korean thing on the county.
Oh, building. Obenauer.
Yeah, William Obenauer. Yeah, he's going to paint the last one.
So are they just, what, say 12 or 13? How many?
17.
Just different renditions of a cardinal?
Of a cardinal.
Different cool.
ways to paint up a cardinal. But
That's
you can go downtown now. There's one in front of the, the beauty school. There's one down there.
The last one was just put up was in front of the number one fire station called the Firebird. And Miss Adams painted that. Major Adams from the police department, his wife, painted that. And it's beautiful. Wow.
You know, George, we were talking the other day, all your years in the restaurant business, you invented the baklava sundae, and Sean Kraft, who will be running the camera for us tonight when we do the TV taping, says he has never had a baklava sundae.
Has never had one?
No.
I thought I fixed him one time.
No, they're very good.
When we were in the older studio at, I forget where.
Terry might have been there.
Who?
Maybe it was Terry.
Oh, I think it was Terry. Wow, it was Terry, yeah.
But Sean said he's never had one, and I said these things are the best. They're one of my favorite desserts.
Well, I fixed those during the first Popcorn Festival and all through about, 25 Popcorn Festivals, I fixed those sundaes. And one Sunday, when the parade used to come down on South Main Street right in front of my restaurant, I had all these umbrella tables out there. This guy calls me, and he was a restaurateur, and his name was John Isley Shops. And John says, reserve a table right down in front of your restaurant, umbrella table, and I have 10 guests. So I was working, I had a lot of people I was serving, and I took to this couple, I took them out 2 baklava sundaes. And John Isley spotted that, and he said, what did you just serve those people? And I said, a baklava sundae. He said, what is that? I said, well, I make fresh baklava, and I cut it up into little pieces, and I put ice cream on it and a little honey on top of that. And he said, make 10 of those for us. So I made 10 of them, and they ate it. And then after they ate, John Isley stood up and hit his spoon on his dish. And ding, 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 ding. And he said, hey, everybody, I want you to know I'm John Isley from Isley's Ice Cream Shop. And I just had a sundae from George Kasotis, and it's the best sundae I've ever had in my life. And this was the Isley ice cream guy.
The people who came up with the Klondike.
The Klondike.
The Klondike bar, absolutely.
And the, what was the cone, the tall cone?
Skyscraper. The
skyscraper
cone.
You remember that?
I don't remember that, but I do. I remember this business about if you got a pink Klondike bar, you got one for free.
For free.
Yeah. I don't remember that either, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, but the skyscraper was, he was there for years. I can't think of his... Angelo Doria. You don't know that name.
I've heard that name.
Angelo Doria.
Angelo
he was
Doria.
The super ice cream scooper. Super scooper. That's what we called Angelo Doria.
Oh, really?
Oh, he was the Isley man that worked for John Isley, and he was the one that came up and made the skyscraper cone.
You know, Gavin and I were talking last night, and you said, Gavin, you're not much of a drinker.
No, I'm no.
Not really much. Well, I was thinking, because if you're having a dinner party that you're going to serve an alcoholic beverage at, what should you serve?
Alcoholic beverage?
Yeah, like wine or...
Beer or...
Well, do you serve beer at a dinner party? I wouldn't think you would do that.
Not necessarily. Wine or cocktails?
Cocktail. Now, what's a good cocktail to serve at a dinner party?
What is a good cocktail?
Yeah. We're getting into the holidays here soon. You know, George, today, 92 days from Christmas.
You know what the old one was, and they made a song out of it. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, down to Point Amanad, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. Do you remember? You don't remember
that? I've heard you sing that, though, before. I think it's on the top of the hour here. You and Charlie were
Yeah. It's very drinking good. Rum and Coca-Cola. That was back in the 20s and the 30s.
So what do you do? It's you get your rum.
Rum and Coke? Yeah.
Rum and Coke.
Cap and Coke.
See, I don't know if I would be into that. I you know what I prefer? I like the drinks with vodka because you really can't taste it. But the martinis I've drank in life, which I'm not a big martini drinker, they all taste like gasoline to me.
Yeah, same with me.
Yeah.
I'm not a... what are you saying, gin?
Gin martini.
Gin,
yeah.
No.
I even had one. I went to the Rainbow Room in New York, which is the... That's their drink, is the martini.
I've been in that Rainbow Room.
Yeah, it's
years
beautiful.
Ago. That's...
Right on top of Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, well, they'll know how to make a martini up here. This is the place. Gasoline. Gasoline.
Vodka martini is better.
Well, yeah, but see, vodka's great because you can mix that with orange juice or cranberry sauce or whatever, and you never taste the vodka. But that's dangerous for a lot of people.
Now, we were in, where were we? We were in Tennessee. We were in Tennessee, and they had this big liquor barn, and we went in there, and I saw it, but I didn't want to buy it because it was too expensive. It was a vodka from Greece, and it was in a Grecian bottle with a Greek key design, white with the black Greek key, and I walked past it because it was too expensive. So we go to leave, and I see Joanna up at the counter with that bottle in her hand, and I said, "What are you doing?" She says, "I'm buying this for you." I said, "That's too expensive. It was over $50 a bottle. I won't mention the price."
Yeah.
And she bought it for me.
How nice.
And it's from Greece, and it's made with olive oil.
And lemon juice.
And Scott, you and Charlie used to get me in. I'd crack up every time you'd say, "George, you're going to get me the, the olive oil, and Charlie was going to bring me a box of lemons."
A box of lemons.
And every time we talked about lemons and olive oil. Well, that's the whole structure of Greece.
Well, see,
it's lemon trees and olive oil, trees.
Well, Gavin, I got to let you know here because George, 89 years old, still moving strong here.
Yeah.
But he said many years ago that these, because we all want to live to be George's age, and we all want to keep on going. Now, the secret to this apparently is olive oil and lemon juice if you want to live to be 100 years old. Did you know this?
I got to start doing that then.
So, George, why? Why olive oil and lemon juice?
It's what is that called? The secret liqueur. I mean, not liquor, but liqueur. The secret liqueur of life is olive oil and lemon juice.
Now, you don't want to drink that just lemon juice.
No.
What do you do?
You just put it on everything that you consume. Any kind of foods.
You mix it up.
You mix up
so
lemon.
So how much lemon juice and how much olive oil?
Well, it depends on the size of bottle you've got. If you have a little bottle or a big bottle, medium-sized bottle or a big bottle, you just mix lemon juice and olive oil.
And you put that on your salad? You put it on your meat?
You put it on everything. When you cook meat, you put olive oil and lemon juice.
And you'll live to be 100.
Oh, easy. Maybe 105, 106, 107. There's some people that are the oldest person in the world is 113 or 115, and they do olive oil and lemon juice.
Let's check back in with Geraldo real quick, see what's going on there. I don't know what's going on.
The time it takes to
that. Boy, they run more commercials in that show. Where's Geraldo? They probably shut him down today because he was screaming and yelling over everybody.
That was too much screaming.
Nobody
wanted
that.
That's probably why they're doing commercials.
Yeah, they shut it. They said, Geraldo, calm down. We're going to run commercials for the rest of the show. We can't take it.
It was like 10 minutes in and he was already up here.
Why do you invite guests on? You want to scream and yell at
them. Well, I don't get that. That doesn't make sense.
No, that wouldn't float here in Marion. But, you know, we'll get him on. I'm going to straighten Geraldo out.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Because he needs straightened out, the poor guy, and I feel that he has went over the edge. He's went over the edge of life.
No one's stopping him.
No, and somebody's got to. Mm-hmm. And I think that I should be the person that goes in and stops Geraldo. I
think you're the person that is going to do it.
Let's see if we can get him here.
Chances are you're spending more time...
Nope. Still commercials there. Boy, that station. Geraldo and its commercials.
Gotta make the money.
George, if Geraldo comes up here, will you make him a meal?
Oh, sure. I will.
Yeah. What would you make for Geraldo?
Probably a gyro.
A euro. Yeah, those are very popular.
Oh, I've sold thousands and thousands of those gyros. We used to have above National City Bank, there was a company that did water systems. And the only name I can remember would be Charlie Wright. You don't know that name.
No, I don't know that
one. He was one of the bosses and there were 30 employees up there. And a couple times a week, they would call me and say, we're ordering 30 euros, because there were 30 employees. And I had a grill that could put 30 pita breads, because my pita bread, I made oil, flour, and water. I made my own pita breads. And I put those round pita breads on the grill and get them brown on one side and then brown on the other side. And I made 30 euros, and one of the two employees would take them up there, you know, and collect the money. But there were only a couple dollars back then. I was charging $1.50, $2. I remember when it first started at the Crest restaurant, which was 131, the old Kagan Vine, the old Cafe George. I was doing hamburgers, big hamburgers, for 10 cents and a coffee for a nickel. 15 cents, you could get a hamburger and a cup of coffee.
Now, think about that, Gavin. Now, how many... But you were only making at that time about $2 for a week's pay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a little different in those days.
A little different, yeah. I'd say so.
Is Geraldo back yet?
Ohio Media School Cleat?
Nope. But they've shut him down today.
And that's because all that yelling and screaming. Who needs that?
No, we don't need that. I have to say this. If Geraldo comes here, I will not allow it.
Oh, no.
No. I'm telling you right now, Geraldo, you can't come here and scream and yell like that. We're not doing that. I want to know what was in... You remember when he opened Al Capone's vault? And there was nothing in there.
Because Scott Spears is talk show radio.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Geraldo is screaming and yell.
Screaming.
Screaming and yell. And do they like that up there in Cleveland?
They must.
Maybe that's why people don't know about his show.
They got him up there for a reason.
That's why they had the Cleveland Indians.
That's exactly right. They're screaming and yelling.
One night and saw the Rhino Shield ad, and I thought, well, if they...
Well, see, there we go again. There's nothing going on. Is he even there? Where is Geraldo? We just want to hear a little more today from Geraldo, and he's only got 3 minutes left on the air. Does he come in and say goodbye to people?
I don't think so.
What a horrible show this must be up there.
They waited for us to leave, and they worked Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I think this must be his show.
Business at all. This was the great part of it. I came back Sunday night.
This must be a caller.
You couldn't even tell they were here. There was no paint on the ground. They did a fantastic
job. Oh, they're talking about paint. What kind of show is that?
Just they're promoting some sort of company, paint? I think. I don't know.
Is the man even on? He does his show from home. Number one, that's a big problem. He has no guests in his home. Who's he going to interview? His wife?
Everything Chucky.
He's not there. We don't know, George.
I don't really.
Now, tonight we're going to have a lot of fun here because I believe that... Well, I don't want to give the names away, but we're going to have a little get-together here at the station tonight and tape a TV show that'll be seen on some channels as well as the internet. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm going to be here.
Yeah. Now, you wearing the tuxedo tonight, George?
Yo, you want me to wear a tuxedo?
Wear the tuxedo, because we're going to take pictures and be on camera, and it'll be fun.
Oh, I'll wear the tuxedo.
Wear the tuxedo. I'll have you announce the show as well. You know, you can say, and the guest tonight.
Yeah, but no, I won't be here because I'm speaking at Primrose.
Right, but you'll be here eventually.
Yeah, I'll be here about 6:30, 7:30, something like that.
What's the topic tonight out at Primrose?
I've got two things that I've been working on, and you won't believe this. I've got so much history about the Civil War.
Well, that's good. And let me check back in real quick here and see if Geraldo's going to say goodbye.
Just after Christmas.
He's gone. Geraldo went to bed or something.
The best thing about this thing I'm going to talk about tonight is about the Civil War. It's 1865. The boys came back, and they're coming down Pennsylvania Avenue and walking all the wounded and all the mules are carrying some of the guys that are wounded, and they're coming back, and there's thousands of people, and tens of thousands of people, and there's at least 1,000 musicians playing this song, and I'm going to sing it tonight at Primrose.
Well, give us a little preview here.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, the world will all be sad, hurrah, hurrah. And that song reverberated throughout Washington, D.C. when those troops came back from the Civil War in 1865. And I'm telling them the story tonight.
That's going to be great. George Kasotis, it's so great to have you back in studio here. The time has flown by. And George, I do want to remind everybody, will now be with us every fourth Thursday from 9 to 10, like he was today.
Thank you, Scott.
And we're going to have a lot of fun. Gavin, it was good to have you back in studio. You have to come back more often. Now you know where the studio is.
Yeah.
Jump on Geraldo.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna search up on him for sure.
Glenn Coble, coming up next here on this station.
Thank you, Scott.
For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
More circumspect in how I deal with the public, but I just so want to be loved that I drop all reserve, and I shouldn't.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective.